Rick isn't here for Steve's, but gather he brought out similar things that out of that deep relationship that Noah had with God, then in verse 22, he was able, with complete obedience, to do everything that God commanded him when God asked him to build the ark. So that's a little recap of some of the things that have been brought out, and they're the themes that I want to look at today, but particularly to do with the theme of acceptance and accepting God and what that might look like for us, and perhaps why we might struggle to accept God at times. So I'm going to start with an illustration. There's actually a children's story by Max Lucado, and it's really great, and it's going to illustrate some of the themes that I'm going to talk about probably better than I will, so I just want to start with it. So I'm going to need three volunteers, and I'm not quite as cruel as Charlie. You won't have to do anything too difficult and look too silly and just hold boxes and balls for me. So I think, Elliot, you wanted to be one, didn't you? Can I have a couple more that just need to hold boxes and balls? That's quite simple. While I tell my... Oh, Doug, excellent. Tell a story. And one more. Anybody else brave enough to hold a box? There's nothing in the box. It'll be empty. Helen, brilliant, thanks. Okay, so this story is set in a town full of wooden people called Wemmicksville, and there's three main characters: Eli, who's the maker of the wooden people, Punchinello, who's the little wooden boy, and Lucia, who is one of Punchinello's friends, who loves her maker. So what happens in this town is that one day one of the Wemmicks buys a box. It's a really special box. It's really beautiful. He's worked really hard for it. So, Elliot, if you want to stand up and be my first Wemmick to have bought your box, you show it around there. It was a really, really lovely box, and he's really proud of it. And he would go around and tell everybody how amazing his box is. Well, his friend, Doug, got a little bit annoyed about this, and so he thought, well, I'll go one better, and I'll buy a boar. So he bought a really good, solid boar. It even bounces. So he showed his friend Elliot, well, look at my boar. And Elliot thought, wow, that's no good, is it? I need a ball and a box. So he gets a ball. I don't know if it still does it, or it used to light up. But anyway, let's pretend it lights up still. So then Elliot has a box and a ball, and this carries on, and they think, well, actually, let's get some more boxes and balls, and everyone starts joining in. So other people buy boxes, and they all work really, really hard to get as many boxes and balls as they can. Loads and loads and loads. I think Doug might be our winner here. Can you hold both of them, do you think? Yeah. Boxes and balls, loads of them. And Punchinello sees this, and he thinks, and he also listens to what people are saying as they're buying their boxes and balls, and they start saying that the people with the most boxes and balls are the good ones. The Wemmicks that have the most are the good ones. And Punchinello doesn't want to be known for being a poor Wemmick. He doesn't want to be known for being a wooden person that doesn't have stuff. So he thinks he's going to work really, really hard. He works all day. He works. He then decides to work all night. He buys boxes and balls, and these guys carry on. You can use your imaginations from now on as they buy loads and loads of boxes and balls. And Punchinello joins in and gets loads. And then he thinks, well, I'm working all day. I'm working all night. I don't need my bed. So he sells his bed, and he buys more boxes and balls. And then he decides, actually, the best thing to get lots of money will be to sell my house. So if I sell my house, I can get the most boxes and balls. Well, his friend Lucia is quite concerned about him, and she says, you know, you don't come out and play with us anymore. What are you going to do? You don't have a bed, you don't go to sleep, where are you going to live? And he says, I don't care, I want boxes and balls, this is what I need. I need to be known as a good wooden person. So he sells his house and he buys his boxes and balls. And he's very, you know, he's pleased with his boxes and balls. But then one day, the mayor changes the rules. In fact, the mayor's wife changes the rules. And she is the kind of Wemmick that gets loads and loads of boxes and balls, the really good boxes with the names on the side. And she leaves the names on so everyone knows how good they are. But she decides that she's going to change the rules. And it's not about who has the most boxes and balls, but it's about who can go the highest with their boxes and balls. So all the wooden people pick up their boxes and balls and start scrambling to the highest place in the town. And they find a mountain. And that's exactly the kind of thing that happens. And they find a mountain. And again, feel free to use your imagination if you could imagine these three scrambling to the top of a mountain with all their boxes and their balls. And Punchinello joins in and can't see where he's going. And unfortunately, falls by the wayside of the mountain and ends up face down in his maker's house, surrounded by his boxes and balls. And he stays face down for a little while because he's quite embarrassed by his behaviour. But Eli is really empathetic, says, you know, I see the heavy load that you've been carrying, but come to the window, he says. And again, this is where your imagination needs to play a part. He says, look at all the people scrambling to the top of their mountain with their boxes and balls. Did you play with your boxes and balls, Punchinello? And he says, no, not really. I just liked the way that they made me feel. I liked the fact that I felt important because of them. And Eli says, but look, do these people look important as they're shoving and pushing and running and tripping and balls in their faces and boxes on their heads? And Punchinello laughs and says, well, no, not really. So Eli points out some different truths to Punchinello. And Punchinello says, well, what can I do? And Eli suggests he gives his boxes and his balls to people that perhaps need them more than him, and just spends the night in his maker's house tonight, because, of course, Punchinello doesn't have a house to go back to. So the story ends with Punchinello falling asleep soundly, at rest in his maker's house, content. So thank you very much, volunteer. Thank you, Elliot, as well, for your help. Thank you. Thanks. Oh, perfect. So, Noah was somebody that stood out from the crowd, wasn't he? Somebody that followed God, again, because of that deep relationship that he had with him. And I wanted to look at this theme of acceptance and why we might struggle to accept God today. And also, I want to look at what kind of God calls us to accept him, and hopefully to encourage us then into that deeper relationship with him. So, I do want to take the illustration a little bit further and illustrate for you two perhaps different ways of being, and I'm going to do that by, in a minute, playing a really short clip of one of my favourite films at the moment, a song in that, and then Jenny's going to read a passage from Philippians, a couple of verses, and it just contrasts for us these two things that we can see around us, particularly if we're Christians and we know God and we know that peace that comes with following his way, but we perhaps do still struggle with what we see around us and that desire for more and more and bigger and better. And some of those things are not necessarily bad in and of themselves. Improvement and development, all those kinds of things can be good, but as so what with so many things, if they take over or if they become the thing that we worship, essentially, then we find ourselves in deep water, a bit like Punchinello, and a bit like some of the characters in the film. The film's The Greatest Showman, and lots of themes of acceptance that go through that, all different angles, all different ways, and these are some of the kind of definitions of acceptance, and that striving for approval from those around you, or wanting to be accepted or acceptable. But also that sense of agreeing and believing in something and agreeing with it and being at peace with it. So these are the things we're looking at. I'm going to play you this clip, and this character in the film, her signature song, she's speaking out essentially her character, if you like, which is one that strives for acceptance and approval and unfortunately never finds it really in the film. So this is her song called Never Enough, and then Jenny is going to read with the handheld mic, if possible, just straight after, just a couple of verses for us. So if you could play the clip for us, Rach. Be enough. Time will go.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 to 13 says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength.
Sorry about the sinking, wasn't quite right, but there was the words that were important. And if you're anything like me, sometimes daily or sometimes certain times or situations or parts of our lives, we might swing between these two ways of being, where on the one hand, we're striving for more and more and bigger and better, and on the one hand, we're able to accept and be content with what we see around us or the situations that we find ourselves in. And that's the kind of thing that I wanted to talk about today. And I think one of the reasons, when we're talking about accepting God, I think one of the general reasons that we might struggle with that is because of our understanding of authority and what that looks like in our society and what how we deal with that word, really. Of course, as well, we do reject God, we rebel against God because of our sinful nature, and we see that right from the fall all the way through the Bible, and we experience it, and that is very much there, and Jesus, we know, has dealt with our sinful nature, and yet we need to keep coming back to Jesus to deal on a daily basis with the different things that we struggle with. But I'm going to put that part aside, and it's not so much that I want to talk about today, but it's about the connotations of the word authority in our society, and perhaps some of the, again, just trying to see through some of the good parts, but be discerning in what we accept and what we see around us, and ultimately accepting God and his way. Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but by the renewing of our minds we'll be transformed. I didn't write it down, sorry, let's read it. Transformed by the renewing of our minds, and then we'll be able to test what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will. Well, there you go. I paraphrased it for you. I can't find it. But the point is that I do believe on this subject of authority that there is something that we need to look at in terms of not conforming to the pattern of the world when it comes to Christ and his authority over our lives. The questions that we have about authority in society are not necessarily, again, bad things. I'm not wanting to say that we shouldn't be having these debates in society about the place of authority in the things around us, in homes, in educations, in political spheres. And those debates are going on, and for some, in some areas, they're going on to protect people and others in our society, and rightly, they should continue. But sometimes when we get involved, or when we just imbibe some of these things, we can take those things on and overlay them with our relationship with God. And C.S. Lewis writes a really interesting sermon on, actually on church membership, where he speaks it and it's written down. And again, he debates his opinions and gives some, you know, some great arguments for different understandings of authority and how we should accept or not accept authority in our society. But what he brings out and what I want to highlight is that when the source of authority is good and only God is perfectly good, then our natural state, our natural being, when we accept that good authority, brings freedom and true life and peace into our hearts and into the way that we follow. And that's really the main thing that I wanted to highlight in terms of, you know, we do, as those that clip showed, we can struggle in certain areas as we strive for certain things. And yet, Paul describes in the Bible another way, a secret of contentment, of, yes, having moving forward in things. The title of this is Accepting God is the Only Way Forward, but in such a way that allows contentment to rule rather than striving. And when I thought about how the reasons perhaps that I might struggle to accept God as Lord over my life or accept Christ's lordship in the decisions I make daily or the way I live my life, that was where I came to, really, and that was what I was thinking about. I was like, well, yeah, we do struggle and we have questions and we debate authority, and authority has been abused by many people, and again, so rightly so, we do question some of those. But if we are not careful, those things get overlaid with our relationship with God, and then we allow that rejection into our relationship with Him. So that's what I want to highlight and encourage us today, that actually we look at the kind of God that's asking us to accept Him and allow ourselves and our spirits to come into alignment with that and to fall face down before Him as the true King, the loving Father, our mighty God, who is just and who is perfect in all of His ways, and who loves us so much in a way that we can't even comprehend, that means He wants and knows the best for us. And when that kind of authority is placed over our lives, when it is good and perfect, then our spirits find freedom and find true life. And then that title of accepting God is the only way forward begins to make more sense to me. So what kind of God do we worship? Well, as I said, one who loves us, who is good, who is perfect, who holds the whole of the universe and the bigger, bigger picture in His hands. So let's increase our knowledge of Him. Let's read His word, worship Him in spirit and in truth, and obey Him out of a natural response to our relationship with Him, as Noah did. When we think of the Romans verse about not conforming to the pattern of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind, and being able then to test and approve what God's will is. Again, when we see that and live that out, what Noah did in terms of his relationship with God and then his complete obedience to God, again, makes much more sense when God was asking him to do something that seemed so countercultural. So, in conclusion, living under someone else's authority is not a popular theme today, but when that someone is good, it can begin to make sense to us. And when we know what kind of God calls us to accept Him, we begin to see that accepting God really is the only way forward for our lives. So for the practical application today, I'd like you guys to do the work, because I feel I've done quite enough. And I'd like you guys to chat together, perhaps with the people you came with, twos or threes or in families, or however you're placed in your seats, and just encourage each other with stories or testimonies or times in your life where you have accepted God. What did it look like to accept him as the only way forward for you? Because I'm sure many people in this room have many moments or many general times that they could encourage those around them with, of decisions they've had to make or paths they've decided to choose in acceptance to God. What did it feel like? What did it look like to accept him that way? And then I'm going to encourage us, as you have discussed those things after you have, just to pray for one another that we can continue to be open to the good King, the good Master, and accept him as the way forward for our lives. So feel free to chat amongst yourselves, and then I'll encourage us to pray at a good time. So if you haven't done so already, if you could begin to draw your conversations towards prayer for each other, prayer for those around you to know that kind of God that calls us to accept him. So feel free now to pray for each other. We'll know God more, and that we'll be able to be open to his way as the way forward. So sorry if you were already praying and I interrupted you, but for those that weren't, please pray for each other.